tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Oh, aren't you thankful for him today, church? Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary was more. trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior.
Lift your voices.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his gracious hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you in the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, worship team. It's good to see everybody this morning here at the house of the Lord. There's one day in my life that I'll never forget. I was down in Montgomery, and I was attending Auburn University at Montgomery. I was playing baseball there. But this day was different than any other day that I had been there. I got in my truck. It was a gray 1999 Chevrolet Z71. I love that truck. I called it the Goose. But I got in the Goose, and I headed towards the field house. The field house sat right beside the baseball field. I'd been over there many times over the course of the year, but that day I pulled into that gravel parking lot with a little bit of a heavier heart. Nobody was there that day except for the coach, because it was the middle of the day. And when I pulled into that gravel parking lot, I sat in my truck, and I thought about the decision that I was fixing to solidify, a decision I'd already made in my mind. And I got out of the truck, and I walked around there, and I saw Coach Lowe. He was down the right field fence line. I'll never forget it. I can still see him standing there. And that walk from the field house through the parking lot to him was a very long walk for me. It was a heavy walk. He's kind of surprised to see me when I walked up, and he said, "What? Bremerman?" That's how he talked. "Bremerman, what are you doing here?" I said, "I got to tell you something, Coach." He said, "What is it?" I said, "I've decided to quit baseball." He said, "Are you sure you want to do that?" I was hoping he didn't say that. But I said, "Yes, sir, I've decided to do this." And that day, all the hopes and dreams and aspirations and hard work that I had done seemingly had come to a close. But God wasn't done. But as a 19-year-old boy, you couldn't have told me that he was. Because it sure did feel like it that day. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Have you ever asked yourself the question, "God, what are you doing?" Likely you have. You may have asked that question this morning. That's exactly what the Philippians were wondering about Paul. From their perspective, the missionary was imprisoned. The preacher is over there in chains. The church planner is now stuck in a prison cell. From all observations, it looks like the whole mission has stalled and may die in that prison cell. But Paul writes to them a very surprising message. And his message to them is, "I want you to know something that you're missing." What they thought was a setback, God was actually using to move the gospel forward. The big question for today is, what is God really doing when life feels like a setback? When we look back on painful moments only as losses, which is so easy to do and natural, I've done it, I'll continue to do that. We look back at these setbacks, these difficult moments, these circumstances we've never been in as a total loss. But if we only look at them there, we risk seeing something that could be really beautiful and powerful. When God gives us a new perspective, He can transform what we saw is only a tragedy into a place of purpose. God uses often undesirable circumstances to move the gospel forward and remove fear from His people. One truth guiding us through undesired circumstances is, don't judge God's work only by your circumstances. Verse 12 says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." Paul knows what the Philippians are thinking. They see chains, they assume defeat. They see restriction, they assume delay. They see prison, and they assume that the mission is dead. It's over. It was good while it lasted. So Paul says, "I want you to know something. He doesn't deny his circumstances. He doesn't deny the difficult place that he's in. He reinterprets it. He doesn't deny it. He reinterprets it, a new perspective. He doesn't say his imprisonment is unfortunate. He says his imprisonment is productive. Now, I'm not saying that I can have this perspective, but it's an admirable one to look at. What looks like limitation is actually advancement. What feels like setback is actually progress towards something, towards the goal. I have struggled with this my entire life. I love this message. If y'all don't get anything, guess what? I did. I hope y'all are going to get something. But this is a struggle of my life because I'm so focused on me and right now. It's all I can see. I can't see 5 feet from it. But this will help you. One day I was coming home from UAB, and I called my mom. I would do that from time to time and just talk to her on the commute back. And I was belly aching, and I was crying about the current job that I was in. I didn't like it. I'm a hypochondriac. I don't know if y'all know that, but I am. I'm a hypochondriac. Every ache and pain I got is terminal. And I was working in oncology, which is cancer. So everything in my body was cancer because that's all I looked at day in and day out. And it was a prison for me because it's all I thought about. It's all I saw. I was in graduate school in healthcare administration, and I had just finished, and I had put in a bunch of applications. None of them were being even looked at. So I was talking to Mama that day, and I was bellyaching to my mama. I can't believe this. I done spent all this money. I done went to school. I done all this, and I can't even get out of this place. It's horrible. All I can think about is I've got cancer and this, that, and the other. Now, my mama I love my mama. She's real honest. That's what I need. Amen. Anybody ever need to be honest? Yeah, I need that. And she said, son, I hear what you're saying, and I respect that it's difficult. She said, but are you considering at all what you may be doing for those patients? No. Have you considered at all that maybe God's keeping you here for a little bit longer? Because on Thursdays I would go over there and just talk to him. That's all the doctor wanted me to do. He didn't want me to do anything else but just go in each patient's room, spend a little time with them, have a conversation with them, tell them a story, and just talk to them. And that's what I would do. And give them just a few minutes to not think about the gravity of why they're there in that clinic. So I'm thankful my mother had that difficult conversation that I didn't want to hear that day. But are any of you guys in that same place in different situations in your life? Are you right where God wants you to be, but unwilling to look around and see what you can be doing in that situation because all you can think about is, I don't want to be in this situation? I've been there many times. I was judging that season by where I wanted to be, not by what God was doing through me in it. Humans naturally focus on their current circumstances and compare them to, this can be a problem, we compare our current circumstances to what we think our circumstances should be. Is anybody guilty of that? Can I get an amen? Amen. That comparison creates real problems. It blinds us to what God might be doing right now. It breeds resentment within us instead of trust in God. Look at verse 13. So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Paul does not describe his situation simply as an imprisonment. Look at it. He calls it an imprisonment in the cause of Christ. There's a difference there. Paul isn't focused on the prison. He's focused on Jesus in the prison. The cause. The chains are real, but the chains around his wrist are not the point. They're not the focus. That's what Philip would complain about. You wouldn't believe what I had to go through over there the other day. I had to do X, Y, and Z. That's not what Paul's not in there complaining about that. Because he sees a bigger purpose The cause of Christ is his point. And this, it wasn't just true in Philippians. We can look over in the book of Acts. Acts 28, 30 and 31. Paul is under house arrest in Rome. Yet, here's what it says. He stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. What was his focus during the imprisonment there? Preaching the gospel. Not how do I get out of this. He had a good focus. Paul knew a great truth. Even though his body was restricted, something wasn't. And what was the one thing that wasn't restricted when he was? The gospel. The gospel was not in chains. The exact offense that led to Paul's imprisonment was not violence. It wasn't rebellion. It wasn't wrongdoing. You know what it was? You know what led to him getting thrown in prison? Allegiance to Jesus Christ. Unwillingness to shut up. Unwillingness to deny him. That's why they imprisoned him. They didn't know what to do with it. Paul mentions 2 audiences that he had there in this prison, the Praetorian Guard and everyone else. Praetorian Guard were elite Roman soldiers assigned to guard important prisoners. These were powerful, influential men. And I think there's a sub-application really quickly. Does anybody have a temptation to refrain from sharing the gospel when you come up on a tough guy or a tough lady? Like, man, they're tough. Man, this is a rough guy. I don't think this guy would ever hear the gospel. This workplace is full of real men. They don't tolerate the gospel. I probably don't need to bring it in here. I don't know that there was rougher men in Rome. And Paul's in there just going, let me tell you, hey, man, you know about Jesus? Let me tell you about the gospel. Let me tell you what God did through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about this. I bet they were tired of hearing about Jesus. Now, that's my spiritual imagination. But I can feel like that they probably, at the beginning of shift, were like, who's got Paul today? You know all he's going to talk about is Jesus. That's all he talks about every day that we're in there. Because it was going out. It was going, the message was going out, not only through the guard would get mad. He'd go home to his house, and he'd complain to his wife, I have Paul today. He didn't shut up the whole time about this guy, Jesus. He says that he came to earth, he's God's son, he died on the cross, he died for me if I would just believe in him. Do you believe that? I don't know. Ask him this tomorrow when you go in there. Well, he'll tell me. I guarantee he'd love to talk about Jesus when we got in there. And then that wife goes and tells Susie, whatever her Greek name Susie is, Suzuki. You never guess what my husband told me when he got home from guarding this guy Paul today. He told me that there's this guy named Jesus, and he came, and he's God's son. You see how it works? And everyone else knew about it as well, all because he was willing to not get in there and be like Philip and bellyache because I'm in prison again when I should be over here. I know God's called me to go over here, and I'm mad because I'm over there, so I'm not talking to anybody. He didn't do that. So the gospel goes out and out and out beyond those chains. What prison do we need, or what prison are we tending to focus on instead of Jesus Christ and where he's put us? What's your prison? We're bad about this. Has anybody ever told you, I can't wait to get out of this town. I can't wait to graduate high school so I can leave Hayden. Anybody ever said that or heard anybody say that, or am I the only person that talks to these people? I hear that all the time. I heard it when I was in high school. I hear it now. I cannot wait to graduate. I'm going to Panama City, or I'm going to wherever. And not that there's anything wrong with Panama City. I like to go there as many times a year as I can. But what do I hear in that? What are you really saying when you can't get wait to get out of this town? I can't stand this place and there's nothing for me here. What if Hayden is where you're called to? Have you ever considered that? Getting off Zillow for a little while and thinking, okay, I'm in Hayden. I mean, this is where I'm at. God, what here? What do you need me to do here? Who do you need me to go see? Who do you need me to talk to? Who can I go and minister to? It's human. It's just human. Paul shows us that undesired circumstances often capture the eyes of others. Do you realize people watch y'all? I don't. I mean, if you don't think people are looking at you, you're wrong. Paul didn't waste his visibility. He used it to make Christ unmistakably known. How are you using your visibility? Sometimes God places his people in difficult places not to punish them, but to display himself through them in that situation. Stop asking only how to escape the situation that we're in and start asking, Jesus, how can I make you known in this situation that I'm in? That will be helpful for the kingdom. Our third truth guiding us through undesired circumstances is live boldly so fear loses its grip in other people. Look at verse 14. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. So it's had a result. The result is being seen in other people now. Paul now shows us an outcome he likely never anticipated. His imprisonment didn't silence the church. They didn't quit worshiping when he couldn't come back to Philippi. Guess what it did? It strengthened the church. What looked like a limitation in Paul's life became courage and strength in the lives of other people. Notice the word most. Did everybody respond with courage and strength and boldness? No. Guess what? Everybody ain't going to respond every time. I can't think of anything we all want to do or don't want to do. We just don't all agree. We can't worry about that. I can't save every person. Or I can't save anybody. Everybody I share the gospel with is not going to get saved. I can't worry about that. I've got to worry about my purpose. I've got to worry about what I can do, doing what God's called me to do. If you're not careful, that'll keep you from doing anything. Paul didn't worry about it. God took care of it, and most of them responded with courage. Our faithfulness will not affect everyone in the same way, and we can't expect it to. We've just got to worry about being faithful to God and let Him handle the rest. These believers were not trusting in Paul. They were trusting in the Lord. They were trusting. They were seeing what God was doing through his life. And they were thinking, and this is how humans work. Okay, they're looking at this. They're looking at Paul. Paul's in prison. He's in a horrible situation. He's in there hammering out the gospel. He's in there telling people. And they're looking at that. And they're like, man, what is going on? That's incredible. He's doing that even in prison. It may cost him his life. It's not even slowing him down. Well, by Jiminy, I'm going to go tell somebody too. If God can take care of him in that situation, I bet that same God that I'm worshiping can take care of me. It gave him strength. Why? Because one man was willing to endure through the strength of God a horrible situation, and it changed the lives of other people. How many people are looking at you right now that are just waiting to grow in courage by seeing how you live out your faith for God with some vigor? How many people are waiting? How many people could you encourage? Is that motivation? Does that motivate anybody this morning? Would you like to encourage some other people? I would. And if that's true, we got to start living it, no matter what our circumstances are. Paul's model for trusting in the Lord, if you're wondering, kind of went like this. He didn't shrink back. He didn't grow bitter. And he didn't hide. He continued to pursue purpose. He continued to speak truth. He continued to trust God with the outcome, whether it meant his life or it didn't. If you say you want to have faith like Paul, you've got to be careful. Amen? This is pretty strong. I've tried to put myself in this prison cell throughout this week as I've studied this. I'm thinking, Philip, you've got a long way to go. Christians often fear speaking the word of God because of rejection. It's real. Consequences, they're real. And some people feel it because they just feel unqualified to do it. But that fear can lose its power when we start living it out and doing it. Because guess who's going to meet you right there? Somebody real important. God's going to meet you, and he's going to help you. It's a matter of stepping out and feeling it, experiencing it. Anybody familiar with Martin Luther? The one from a long time ago? The Catholic guy? Anybody? Man, this may fall short. Okay, so that's why I just tell y'all stuff about my life, because I know y'all know me. But so Martin Luther stood before the church and government leaders and was told to recant his beliefs. So this is the Catholic Church, a long time ago. Recant his beliefs or face severe consequences. That's what he was up against, because he had decided that they had gotten their theology wrong. That what they had wasn't Bible, and he wasn't going to stand for it no more. He knew that speaking up could cost him his life, it could cost him his livelihood, and it would certainly cost him his position in the church. But guess what he refused to do? Back down. He nailed those theses up on the door, the theses that he thought were Bible. And guess what that courage to do that did? Guess what it did? For those of you who know Martin Luther today, that was a long time ago. And that courage has lasted hundreds of years for me to be telling you about it today. It's impacted me today. And that was one step of courage to do the right thing, to live out his faith openly. That was a long time ago. So what kind of impact can you make today that may last hundreds of years for the kingdom? By having courage to live out the faith that God has given you. God often uses one believer's visible faithfulness to remove fear from many others. He can use yours. But the key is going to be to live boldly where you are right now. Assuming that's where God's put you. Your obedience today may be the courage someone else needs to speak tomorrow. So God isn't done, is he? Is God finished? Okay. Y'all may be wishing I was. Earlier I told you about pulling up in that gravel parking lot, walking towards Coach Lowe and feeling physically sick as I communicated that message to him. But as a 44-year-old, not baseball player, far from it, I look back with a different perspective. I thought life had ended that day in Montgomery. I thought that was over and that was the end of everything. But as I look back now, I just kind of smirk at that. Because I see what God has done. I see God's purpose and what was undesirable circumstances then. And I see what he has used that, and he's done a work. He's been patient, graceful, and he's brought me to a place that I enjoy much more than playing baseball. But if we're not careful, we'll stay focused on that and never get to right here. Not saying that that's easy. There's all types of situation. Unfortunately, many times I've decided what God was doing by how I felt. If it felt like a setback, I assume God had paused, forgotten, or was mad at me. Maybe he had moved on. But here's what we should do. We should look to what Paul did. Paul said the opposite of what I've always said my whole life. The chains didn't stop the gospel. The guards and everyone, they heard the gospel. Fear lost its grip on believers, and the mission moved forward even stronger. That's what happened when you had the right focus. Something to reflect upon this week. What if the thing you're asking God to remove from your life is the very thing he's using to speak, strengthen, and spread his gospel? For believers today, I think we need to stop waiting for better circumstances to start obeying God. We need to obey God in whatever circumstance we're in first. God does some of his greatest work in places that we would never choose. And if you're not a Christian today and you realize that you're kind of in a prison, you've realized that you're in a prison that sin has created, there's really no escape out, it feels hopeless, like, what am I doing in here? There is an escape out of that prison, the prison of disbelief. An escape out is through belief and through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that holds the key that opens that door to that prison and allows you out. And so today, if that's you, if you're in that prison because you don't believe and you're in a hopeless situation, you can get out of that today. It's through placing your faith in Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. You can escape that prison and never go back. Amen? So if there's anybody in here today that applies to them, I hope that you would make that decision through prayer and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life today. Andrew, you and the team can come up. When life feels like a setback, but God isn't done. I assume that there's at least one person in here today that feels like that they're in a setback, they're in a season that's difficult, very difficult, it's hard. Maybe a job, it could be anything. And I don't know, the Lord knows I don't. But I hope that looking at the life of Paul and how he conducted himself for Christ in a very dark situation has given you strength. I hope it's encouraged you. I hope that maybe it's given you a new perspective. It certainly changed mine, and I hope that it's changed yours as well. But during this time of worship, just know that the altar's open. If you need to come and do a business with God, I'd encourage you to do that. There's real strength in being prayed for with other people. If you need to make a decision for Christ, or you just need some help, need to talk to somebody, I'll be down front. But if you would, please stand as we sing our last song of worship and have our time of response.